You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Hey, if you got your Bibles, turn back over to Matthew chapter 5. We are blessed today to be participating in the Lord's Supper. You call it by many different names, but it's very special to us here at Cross Brand, the way we do it. And I hope you'll stick around for that after this talk. Unpopular thing, but we're living in such a climate that is just really weird to live in America right now and also be a Christian in America. It is an exciting time. There's some data out there that says Gen Zers are coming back to church in spite of their parents. So this is not a doom and gloom deal, but I just want to follow up from what we started talking about last week, which is simply, why isn't everybody coming back? Why are we not seeing why haven't we already seen a mass revival in this country, regardless of your theology or whatever that might be? Matthew chapter 5 is pretty clear. You're the salt. In other words, you're an influencer. Because salt can do a lot of things. It can heal, it can add taste to stuff, it can preserve, but you are an influencer. You're the salt of the earth. Then he goes on down to say that you are the light of the world. I didn't elaborate last week on this, but if we're the light of the world, that simply means we have influence too. If you don't think light is a tremendous influence, here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn off the lights and dismiss you guys and see what happens. If you don't think light is important and light has the power to influence, ask my son when he and Allison moved into another home and he thought he could navigate to the bedroom with the lights off, and he didn't know Miss Allison had moved a significant piece of furniture. He comes over at the house the next day. He got his pinky toe. Yeah, see, I knew I'd get all of you. It's just this little crinkly, crunchy sound that just went through everybody's brain in here. Light is important. Salt is important. You are important. This is a message to the church. This is a message to believers this morning. And I'm just scared, though, that there are some reasons why we are not causing other people to seek out Jesus. What is it in our life that's causing people to question even our own faith and our own integrity and our own credibility? Let's talk about some of those. Last week, it was and by the way, one of my favorite quotes to use, it's a secular quote by a non-believer who said it very plainly. I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike Christ. And that stings even all of us. And Kerry Newhoff, great guy, great leadership guy. The problem with so many non-Christians isn't that they don't know any Christians. The challenge is they do. I just hope none of you are standing in the way of heaven for those people you work with, from your families, your communities. I know that's kind of a broad, bold statement, but guys, just think about it. You are sent. Okay, if you're saved, you're sent. I'll talk about that probably in the next couple of weeks. If you're saved, you're sent. That means you have no option. So, no, you don't all have to go to Africa, but you got to go. Every time you leave this building, every time you leave your home, you're sent to be an influencer, to be an influencer. And a lot of times, a lot of people, number one, they're not interested in this Jesus stuff and this Christianity stuff because we kind of made them feel a little judged, a little sized up. A little bit can go a long way when it comes to judgment. And guys, I don't know what you look like. Jesus doesn't care what you look like, smell like, what's in your bank account. Y'all agree with that? And so everybody that comes into your life, be it a rich man or a poor man or a homeless person or a drug addict or this or, a cheater. All these people that come into your life, We've got to embrace the fact that God still loves them. John 3:16, he did not exclude that person because you don't like them, or there's something not right about them. He did not exclude them at all. And so today, just ask yourself, if you're the one that's throwing that judgment out there on people that are in your life. Number two is you may have excluded them from Christian circles. And by that, I mean this. Jesus was so inclusive, not in the way that 2025 people like to use that word, but he was very inclusive. He said, come one, come all. Now, as we're at C316 on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock down the hill, we were just discussing some of the key components of progressive Christianity. And as you'll see, a lot of mainstream denominations today have embraced so many progressive ideas. Go back and listen to me on Wednesday nights if you want to, but they embrace so many progressive ideas that now, by their definition, if you're in a progressive church, by their definition is, that means any sin you bring in or you bring with you, we're going to accept you, but we're also going to ask, you don't have to change. And guys, that's not what God's in the business of. God is in the business of changing lives. So you bring your hurts, habits, and hangups here, right here, and we go, we love you, and we're going to include you. We're going to ask you to supper. We're gonna sit down in the break room with you. We're going to pull up a chair when the cafe is too crowded. We're going to have a conversation with you. And because we know that God sees beyond where you're at right now. He always sees beyond all of that sin and all of that shame. And listen, I've told so many people this. So many of you don't understand. You have such a great story that's waiting to be told on the other side of your life wreck. Every single one of you. Even if it's a moral life wreck, there's so much hope in Jesus Christ. He makes you new. You are a new creation. There's no condemnation. So let's roll, all right? But let's take on that attitude and let's embrace them into our circles, into our life. Have a meal with them, guys. Have a conversation with them. Try that Jesus stuff. It works. Number three. You ready? Here we go. Some of us have confused non-Christians with double standards. Most of you have heard the term hypocrite. I do need to do some explaining on that because I believe everybody in this room is a hypocrite at some level. Right? If you work for Ford Motor Company and you're driving a Chevrolet, hypocrite. If you're wearing some of them pretty jeans, you know what I'm talking about. Grown man walking around with sparkles on his hiney. Jacob, you got any of them britches? There you go. That's why I love you. Now, here's what's going to happen. All the guys that you see leaving late today, check out their hiney. They got him. Bragg screamed, no. I just believe at some level we're probably all unintentional hypocrites. But think about this. Because we're all hypocrites at some point, I think there's sometimes that, like those of you who offer advice to people about their health at work, on your third pot of coffee, you're telling them about their blood pressure. Car care. Listen, if I ever say a word to you about maintenance and car care, you just go, hypocrite. We just kind of like to drive them. I get it. Sometimes it's intentional, but we really don't want to be that way where Jesus was talking about it on a spiritual level, where Jesus called the religious leaders of that day hypocrites. And I'm going to speak to that in just a second. That's not my main point. There's every once in a while that I think of the lost world is going to see you being a hypocrite and you didn't mean to. That's why sometimes I wish unbelievers would just give us a little grace every once in a while. I was trying to teach a kid in my student ministry to drive. I was very hands-on when I was at First Baptist Jacksonville, and I was, you know, so I had a kid, honey, and I got married, and 2 weeks later, we have a 16-year-old son. That was hard to explain. But James came on, stayed with us for a little bit, and went on to be a very successful man right now, but I was teaching him how to drive. I believe it was him. And I'd harped on, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. I've still got the old truck parked down there where the mailbox hit it. I was driving. Man, there's a pretty set of cattle over there, though. I couldn't take my eyes off of them, you know? And I hit that mirror. I hit the back end. And this was one. This is 30 years ago, so they made real mailboxes back then. They would tear your truck to pieces. And so it was an accident. And I had to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, I taught you something, and I didn't do it. All right. Could I help us just a little bit? I believe this is scriptural, what I'm fixing to tell you, but I also believe it's practical. I've had to live through some of this. If someone is talking constantly about the church being full of hypocrites, I'm not necessarily going to disagree with them. At some level, we all are, even if it's non-intentional. You know, while you are, you're a sinner saved by grace. We're going to mess up. But for some reason, the unbelieving world, all of the political activists now, all the atheists, all the agnostics, that's one of the first places they go as to being against Christianity. It's just a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Okay. So I'm not going to argue with them about that. What I will say, though, is this. Number one, I am going to acknowledge my personal weakness, and I'm going to tell them, you're right. At times I have been a hypocrite, and that's not good. I'm going to, number two, acknowledge that I'm trying to be better. I doubt if there's not many of you that just love constantly messing up. If you're really truly trying to follow Jesus, you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to mess up. But guess what? You're going to mess up. And again, sometimes unbelievers hold you to a higher standard than, I guess, Jesus. I don't know. But what I do is I acknowledge the weakness. You bet. I said something I shouldn't have. Number two, I'm working on it. And number three, here's where it gets them. I apologize. I really believe the church should apologize to some unbelievers. I really believe that some of you have lost your light. You've lost your salt. Maybe it was in the heat of the moment. Maybe you were holding somebody accountable, which that's completely okay, but you didn't do it right. You were angry. You were mean. You were condescending. You need to apologize. Now, look, I'm not a horseman. You know what's better? I'm a better horseman than what I've seen at times. Years ago, I was ranch rodeoing. And I don't know why, because I wasn't in high school sports. The only thing about sports I was interested in was the cheerleaders. But I love horses. I love rodeo. Of course, my kids had far surpassed me years ago, all of them, on horsemanship. And the problem is, when I was in rodeo, and I don't know why I got so competitive, because I was never that, I'm not that kind of guy. You know, I don't have to be first. I'm not the kid that plays musical chairs and brings out a knife. He's going to cut some people, but don't get away from me. I'm not that competitive. The problem is, I didn't know I was, so I got in ranch rodeo, and I was very competitive. They missed a call, and everybody in the back agreed with me, and I kind of made a fool of myself. Problem with my competitiveness is my competency never caught up to my competitiveness, you know? Man, I ran out there and I made a fool of myself. I had a Cross Brand shirt on. And the judge, he's a Christian. He didn't say nothing. The next rodeo, I rode up to him and I said, I screwed up bad. And he said, well, Mike Morrow, I've been disappointed in you for a week, but you cannot imagine how much it means to me that you're trying to make this right. And he's a big old boy. He hurt you bad. And every time we see one another, we just hug. I'm just saying, guys, quit being prideful. If you mess up in front of unbelievers, you need to apologize. Make it right. Now, let me show you something. I'm not telling you to pull this out of the hat when you're arguing with unbelievers. I'm just saying everybody needs to remember Romans 7:18. I'm not being hard on us, but I'm saying there should be a little grace to us who, as believers, mess up. Super disciple, super apostle, even though he did not call himself one, Paul said this, I know that nothing good lives in me, Romans 7:18, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there's no ability to do it. Now, he didn't mean that the Holy Spirit had left him. He just means that with his lost body, he just kept making mistakes. But then he would go on to say, but, you know, thank God for Jesus Christ. And so I just want you to know, we need to own some of our goofiness for what we're calling hypocrisy. All right, watch. Crowd this size, there's people here that are not believers. In a crowd this size, there are people here that are not believers. So let me tell you this, if I could just talk to you. If you've never followed Jesus, please never let what you perceive as hypocrisy stand between you and heaven. It ain't worth it. Well, I don't want to go to heaven. There's just a bunch of hypocrites there. The alternative is not good. Did you see what you just said? Hell will be nothing like any of us could ever perceive. I don't care what Hollywood's done to it. I don't care if you were scared at a play in the 1980s and 1990s. Doesn't matter. Hell is reality, but we will never grasp the darkness and the torment that is there for eternity. Please do not let a hypocrite stand between you and your relationship with the Lord. Number next, you ready? Real quick. One more. Oh, you know what else? Yeah. Do you know, we may be losing some people, some unbelievers draw into the faith because we are not showing real love and compassion. Real love and real compassion. Genuine love and genuine compassion. I've heard this, and I've got to hurry up because we want to do the Lord's Supper. But, you know, I've heard this time and time again. People coming into a church, I don't think it's ever happened here. And if it has, I'm sure Facebook is fixing to blow up. You remember that time when y'all made me mad? Which time? Dear friend of mine, he's in the media business forever. Grew up in Fort Worth. His dad left his mom and his siblings. She worked at a bar. She would sing, she would bartend, she would do anything to keep those kids fed. Time came, times got really hard. She did the only thing she knew to do. She was a hard worker. She was not a beggar, but she went down to the local church. Walked into the pastor's office and said, look, I don't have enough food to get me to the end of the week. I don't know what flavor of church it was. It don't matter. And he said, sure, we would like to help you out until he realized who he was talking to. She was a divorced woman that worked in a bar. And he says, you know what? You're that woman that works in a bar and you're divorced too, right? Now, by the way, it was an abusive situation. And he said, ma'am, we don't help people like you. God forbid that that has happened. And so, you know, what people, a lot of unbelievers have never seen true love at two levels. Number one, among believers, because ultimately Jesus said in John 13:35, you know how everybody will be able to know that you're saved? You know how everybody knows you're going to heaven? It's because you love one another. You love the people in your church. You love the Christians in your community. You love Christians around the world. You love Christians in Nigeria. You love Christians in Iran. You love Jesus people. They're your brothers and sisters. And so Jesus said that is the standard by which everybody else is allowed to judge you. Okay? That's the standard that God said, they're going to judge you. But let them judge you by the right standard, not by the fact that you got bumper stickers or you got some daggum church attendance record or you got your Facebook quote with inspirational quotes on it. That's not how they're figuring out who you are. Not at all. And the second thing that we have got to do is we have got to remember that a lot of unbelievers have seen how they have been treated beyond being in your Christian circle. Don't ever miss this one in Colossians 4:5. You ready? Act wisely. I'm talking to you Christians. Act wisely toward outsiders. And you know, you can pray about how that wisdom plays in there. What's your tone there? And number five. This is a big deal for you overzealous Christians. I heard one time that Christians can be overbaked. They can be too Christian sometime. You know, and if you've lost your ability to sit down and have a conversation with an unbeliever, you probably drifted some. You need to rethink that. But here's what I want to point out to you. A friend of mine, in high school, you've heard about this before. He's on staff at a huge church, mega church in Longview. But he went to a youth revival one night, and I've been to them. Some of you that went through the 80s, you know what I'm talking about. We had lots of youth conferences. I love youth conferences, but this was one that probably it was a misplaced. The whole thing was off. There was a long, drawn-out altar call. We don't do altar calls here. We do invitations. That's the way Jesus did it. Come, 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 follow me. I'm not opposed to altar calls at all, but I just got so burned out by them because I saw so many pastors abuse them. Some of you old people are shaking your heads. You know what I'm talking about, right? We're going to sing Amazing Grace three times. All 87 verses. Isn't that right? How many there are? And he's going to stand up there at the pulpit and do this. We're not leaving until whichever one of you that needs to be saved get down here and get saved. Man, I'm hungry. I'll get saved again, whatever. I just need to go to the Cracker Barrel. So there's some abuses that went on back in my day, but boy, it was one of those services, and my buddy was sitting there. He says, I'll never forget, I was sitting on an aisle, in an aisle, and I had a friend that had been witnessing to me every day at school, witnessing, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. You need to ask Jesus in your heart, get saved. Greg said, it just wasn't time. Mister, and I don't know, I've never tried this as a form, as an evangelism tool, But here's what she did. That preacher was up there rocking, talking about that one person, and she just does this. Boop. Just does the booty bump in the name of Jesus and popped him out in the aisle. And he's just standing there. Crap. So he walks down and gets saved. Now, was he saved? No, about 3 years later, he was saved at an ordination service of one of his friends. But he wasn't saved then. And so just, guys, you can't push people to the point where the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. The Holy Spirit needs to get a hold of them first. And see, what you're doing is you're working in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So what that's going to mean is you're going to have to pray for them. You're going to ask God to open a door so you can talk to them. But you try to do that. Who was that? The Kool-Aid man? Crashing through that fence. I always thought him and Fat Albert were the same ones. Hey, hey, hey. Fat Albert. I have wanted a lot of people just to let me lead them into heaven. And so many of you parents better be careful about this, because if you're wanting your child to be saved and they start asking about baptism and you get all excited, and then we sit down, or Kiana sits down and goes, why do you want to be baptized? Well, because my friends are. And some of you folks that have the opportunity to lead your children to the Lord, you realize, you know as good as I do, salvation is about two things: believing that Jesus was who he said he was, and the fact that we're sinners. Those are the two components needed in a salvation experience. And watch what John would tell us. This is what I mean. You're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me, it's Jesus, draw him. And then he's ripe. She's ripe. She's ready to listen. Don't be too pushy, because the last thing we want is someone to live out all the rules and think up until their dying day that just because they prayed a prayer, just because they've kind of started being good, they are Christians. They're not. You work as a partner with the Holy Spirit as he sends people into your life. Quit making them repent. Quit pushing them every single day. To just conform. Just be like us. No, that's not the way Christ works. As we close this morning and fix to go into the Lord's Supper, I need you to know this. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. We're called to be influencers. But are some of you guys making it hard for people to find Jesus? You need to repent. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today and said, hey, you realize there's a problem with the way you're handling this person at work or this child that you're estranged from, let the Lord speak to you and let him open your heart.
David Ray here from the Christian Country Jukebox. I want to let all the artists know that we are offering a special package for your ministry. As you know, HLE Radio is one of the premier sources for Christian country music, and we have active listeners in 156 countries around the globe. Since we are ministry first, sharing the gospel through the ministries of Christian artists is our priority. If you want to share your story, ministry, and music with all the nations that we touch, I'd love to have you on the Christian Country Jukebox. Whether you want to focus on a new project or just let folks know more about your ministry, you'll have the whole show dedicated to you and your ministry to get the gospel out to the world. Christian Country Jukebox is a weekly one-hour program here on HLE Radio that re-airs three more times during the week. That's 4 hours of informing the listeners about your ministry. If you are interested in sharing your ministry to the world, you can contact me, David, at hleradio.com or Hunter at hleradio.com for more details and to set up a convenient time for an interview. I look forward to hearing from you and helping you spread the gospel to the world. Remember, keep it real, Christian and country.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, hleradio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.